This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household, but only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I
thought it was weird.
I will never say anything in my lifetime that will make any of these young women at Rutgers regret or feel foolish that they accepted my apology and forgave me.
Wake up for America! Wake up today! Wake up for America!
Nobody picked up on this, huh?
Was the band there live? I know it was a live show in front of an audience.
It was the Mayberry RFD Network band.
White power!
It's the band that was playing in back of him?
Yeah.
How did they go over? I don't hear the crowd really applauding that loudly.
Oh, they went to commercial break, Mike.
Well, I did hear one rumor that he's perhaps had some work done. During his little hiatus that perhaps he'd had a little work done.
There's not enough chisels. There's just not.
For RFD television.
Oh. Well, let's start with something a little more down our alley.
I want the hippopotamus for Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Up our alley.
Hippopotamus is all I want.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, girly. These are the bad Stooges, right?
These are the aging Stooges.
These are the Stooges without Curly.
This might be the Stooges with Curly Joe Derita.
Not even with Shemp.
You'd accept Shemp over Curly Joe Derita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a Shemp hater, but if you give me the choice of Shemp or the guy that followed him,
sure.
I'm a Shempster.
I believe that Shemp predeceased Curly. He may have. When he was shadow boxing. And he put his chin on his chest and
you
died.
You love telling us how the Three Stooges died.
I enjoyed it. Didn't enjoy that they died. It's just there were wonderful stories about how they went out on top.
How did Mo die, Mike?
Mo died, I believe, of cancer. But see, Mo was the last one to die, so I didn't pay attention. Curly.
I'm just asking in order. How about Larry? How did Larry die?
Larry died from complications from a stroke at the Motion Picture Actors Country Home and Hospital.
What about Curly?
Curly had a stroke on the set of Hoi Polloi, and they put him off in a chair where he couldn't speak and finished the scene.
Wow.
Before getting him to the...
first thing
to the hospital. And then there was Joe Besser.
Hold on, what about in order? Shemp. Do you know what happened to Shemp?
Shemp had a stroke also.
And then there is Curly Joe Besser. Is that the guy we're
Curly
talking about?
Curly Joe Derita. Oh. He doesn't count. I don't know how he died.
So there's Joe Besser.
Joe Besser died from autoerotic asphyxiation.
And that was the guy that always said, don't hurt me, right?
Don't hurt me! Don't hurt me! But the longest lasting Stooge after the stroke was Larry Fine, and that's why you have
a lot of interviews with Larry. Hey, Mo.
And at one point, there was a shot of Larry Fine at the Motion Picture Country Home and Hospital dressed up as a woman for some sort of costume contest. Still
Harry
making people laugh.
Signed us up at Columbia. He was the big boss then, you know. Very eccentric. But he thought we brought him luck. So he said, you
stop,
boys will
pause
be
that.
Here as long...
Please pause that. This is a tape of Larry Fine.
This is definitely Larry Fine.
Yeah, very close to the
right
end. It's Larry
the end.
Fine talking about it was running the studio.
Okay, go ahead.
Keep I'm going. Alive. And we were. And we started the shorts there for 24 years.
Yes.
The stories involved, the sets that they had. In other words, any time they had a big picture, we knew what we were going to have to do. They had a set of a courtroom scene.
You know, it's bad enough that he's got the stroke, but could you put the microphone maybe just a little closer to his mouth?
No. MGM was so
you know what it sounds like? It sounds like they got a condenser microphone. You know the kind that's like right on the camera?
And of course, Curly, no interviews with Curly late in life.
No.
Or Babe, as his as his mates call him, Babe.
Works like magic on more than just mucus.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, well.
Hello!
That'll count for the opening for today.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Hey.
Yeah.
All right. A little quiet for Super Josh.
Here we go.
Hello!
Hey, you!
Hi, Bob Barker.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
What do you think of us?
I can't believe it. These guys are fags. These kids are fags. I can't believe it. Down, God damn it, they're fags.
Very inappropriate, amigo.
Very inappropriate, for God's sake.
Rotten hell, you maggoty whore.
Right.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
As always, we like checking in with Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
And that follows this announcement.
Being careful, it's very important to me, because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Well,
what have we here?
Golly.
Smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Guess how big it is? It's the size of a stick of butter.
That's big.
Hello, how are you doing? Can I tease and please your blank with my tongue and make you blank over and over?
Right, here's the phone number.
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I just have to wear a diaper.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Thank you.
I like every square inch of my glorious naked body.
I just have to wear a diaper.
What about the vagina?
Exactly. Here's Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
That's our names to wear out. Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back. Welcome.
Welcome.
Oh, good. Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's get your Jesus style.
Hi, J-Man.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Yeah.
Right? The ultimate CEO? Biggest celebrity of them all?
Yeah.
Who's down with G-O-D?
Right here. Two out of three guys.
What glory is cool.
Absolutely. Hi there.
Looks like baby vomit.
And this is the Don and Mike Show. This is what all the talk's about.
Yeah, it's what you hear about on your street.
Don and Mike Show, and it's Monday. Hope you had a fine weekend. Phone number, same as it was last week, 877-365-3636. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. Breaking
Howdy.
News.
Hi there, what's
happening?
Hello.
Breaking news. I have breaking news for you guys.
Breaking news. Wow, right out of the chute. Breaking news. This will be helpful
breaking
for me.
Breaking news. Osama, next president. Osama, the next president. What do you say?
Osama bin Laden?
Thank you, Oprah. Hi there. Don and Mike Show.
That was not breaking news.
That was not Oprah.
Mm-mm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I like your show open now. You went back to the old way. I like it.
What's, the old way.
What do you mean, what's the old way? Well, what, as opposed to what way?
He's gone.
He's gone. That's all he had.
That sounded almost biblical, didn't it? You... You have returned to the old way. Yes, we need you to do it the old way, the way your ancestors did.
See, you hear that as the Bible. I hear that as Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right.
Similar.
Luke.
I am your father.
Luke, go back to the old way.
Mm-hmm. Take your lightsaber and battle Obi-Wan the old way.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, on the Three Stooges, you forgot about Emil Sitka.
Who?
Emil Sitka replaced Larry Fine after he died, and he was a stooge for the year of 1975, and then that was it.
Let me just say, hold on, Rob, you should have known this.
I knew this, but it doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
They never made a movie.
Or a short? Did they make a short?
No, they were supposed to be in the movie Blazing Stewardesses, but it fell through. They were replaced by the Ritz Brothers, right?
Blazing Stewardesses.
Am I right, ass?
Yes, you're right.
So go and be quiet.
Hey, come on now.
Wow. Such hostility right out of the chute.
Well, for God's sakes.
The old way.
Look at his herpetic lip.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see.
No wonder he's mad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She finally slugged you. Huh?
No, no, no. Far from it.
I thought you were like wearing lipstick or something.
I am.
He was into his eighth beer, went to heat up some pizza.
Oh, that's how you got it.
Yeah. It was bad. What happened is, you know, when you've had eight beers and you go to heat up some pizza, you normally heat it at like, what, 170? But the oven defaults to 350. Uh-huh. So I said, what the hell?
You didn't microwave it?
No, it gets it gooey. I mean, you want the crust to be crisp, right?
Yeah,
you want it to be so hot that it actually peels off the top layer of skin bottom lip.
Went up to get it, put it on a plate, had another beer in my hand, and you know the corner is hanging off the plate.
Right. Sure.
So I took a bite, and some cheese slid with it, uh-huh. And swung. You're approximating it well, and it swung down.
Oh.
And because I just, I guess, had a sip of beer, the lip was cold, and it sort of grabbed on.
Took a minute.
And
fused to the lip.
Had my hands full because I had been eating off the plate with
the
beer.
Sure.
So all I could do was sort of go, and there it kept baking. Yes.
There's a lesson to be learned there. You know, you want to make it three or four beers before you have the pizza.
So I was able to finally take the cheese off, and then when I went to wipe my lip, about a piece of skin about the size of two quarters slid off.
Ow.
And since then, and to this day still, my lip feels like it's been Novocaine.
And you got to know that Rob has, on a regular basis, chapped lips.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
comes up. Comes
his
in
lips
with
are troublesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the angry lips most of the time. We're used to the herpetic-like sores.
From and all the kissing I do.
But look at this, though.
This
but occasionally
horrible.
He gets MEL, which is difficult for him, too.
M-E-L.
Matt Elliott lip.
That's true. Well, and if I've got it.
We all have it.
But I've never burned myself on the lip so bad that
I can tell by the way you're talking.
It
you're
immediately,
kind of,
it immediately burnt blood.
Don't hide it from Mike. Just show Mike exactly how it is.
Look.
Doesn't it look like he has lipstick on?
Let me see. Look my God. That like goes down to your chin.
Yeah. Well, the cheese, it was a lot of cheese.
What kind of pizza was it?
That was Papa John's with ground beef.
Worth it.
Delicious.
Papa John's with ground beef.
Yeah, it's like a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
300 degrees and baked to your face.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
It hurts so bad.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, just wanted to give you a friendly little reminder that Michael Hughes is still a douchebag.
All right, thank you. That continues from Friday, I guess.
Like we needed a reminder. Like we needed a reminder for that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Joe Gibbs is a effing idiot.
You know, there is a place for that. There is a place for that discussion.
Yeah.
And it's odd. You know, no one wants to run into this thing and say what it is.
Nobody wants to step on his neck right now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And, well, gosh, let's start with Sean Taylor. I was at the Redskins game yesterday, and I give them a hard time for everything. That they muck everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say yesterday that this tribute that they did to Sean Taylor in the stadium yesterday was magnificent.
Oh, good.
It was absolutely perfectly done. Perfectly done to the point where I'm amazed that the Redskins could play. The stadium itself, where it's normally loud, was silent, and here's why. It was so stirring. It was so emotional. It was so goddamn sad.
Mm-hmm.
People literally, myself including, were crying, and this thing got done, this 20-minute, for lack of a better word, funeral for Sean Taylor yesterday, and it gets done, and the guy says, the announcer, "Who's ready for football?" And immediately the stadium went over from mourning, reverence, uh-huh. crying. It was like people could not flip the emotional switch.
Yeah, not that quickly.
Fast enough. I mean, I'm just talking about the people that were there in the stadium
right.
to watch the game as fans.
Right.
It was very hard all of a sudden to stand up and go, "Yeah, woo!"
Yeah, and it's tough to... I would imagine tough it is for the fans, it's very tough for the players
right.
as well.
Of course.
To get motivated and for the coaching staff. And I know it's popular to step on Joe Gibbs' neck today
well,
for that, you know, for
tell
that
you why,
last timeout.
And here's why. Seriously. I watch. Also want to preface this by saying I watched the Sean Taylor funeral today on TV. And Joe Gibbs, if there was ever a man of God who was right for the job of speaking at this funeral, it was him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was beautiful, and he was eloquent, and he's into God, and he held it together, and he was magnificent. Joe Gibbs was today talking about the life of Sean Taylor.
Right.
But yesterday, during the actual game that was played, when they started the game, they had 10 players on defense. The Redskins did.
Right.
On purpose.
Right.
They didn't have a guy start where Sean Taylor normally starts.
Okay.
On the first play, they did this.
Kind of the riderless horse thing that they wanted to do for
him. As a tribute to Sean Taylor. And as it turns out, Buffalo ran on that side of the field for 22 yards, first play of the game. They asked Gibbs about this after the game. I was watching the post game. The cat says, I had no idea. I'm going to have to talk to the defensive coordinator.
He didn't know? Could this have been a player's move?
No. It was planned by Greg Williams, who's the defensive coordinator.
So the defensive coordinator does this and doesn't tell the head coach.
It was his idea. He told the team. The team, of course, said, we're for it.
We're with you.
And then in the press conference, Gibbs, because he was just so full of emotion, I mean, I got to think he's slicker than this, that he would normally try to hide the fact to make you think that he knew what was going on. He said, well, I didn't know we had 10 players. I had no idea. I'm going to talk to Greg about this.
You know, it's tough. You're right to talk about him and his abilities today.
And then you go to the field goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the Redskins stunk enough that Buffalo got down for a 51-yard field goal to win this game. Gibbs does this thing that, first off, you wouldn't think he would be one of these coaches that plays this game now.
Icing the kicker?
Of calling a timeout just as the dude is kicking the ball.
That's standard practice, though, isn't it, in the NFL?
Yeah, but Gibbs is not one of those guys, generally speaking, who's got the M.O. of doing it right as the guy's kicking.
Right.
But he does it because it's in vogue, and he gets his timeout. Cat makes the field goal. Then he's going to line up and try it again. It's a basic rule. You can't call two timeouts in a row.
Most of the broadcasters broadcasting the game knew that. Most of the people.
I knew that. I knew that as a rule, and I'm not a big guy on the rule book, but I know.
Did you know that it was going to be 15 yards unsportsmanlike if they did it?
Of course, because you get taught that. It's one of the basic rules because it gives the other team absolutely no advantage. There has to be a play in between time. There must be, you know, unless it's an injury or something nutty, but you can't call two timeouts in a row.
Right. Well, it goes from a 51-yard field goal to a chip shot, and it was frustrating. You don't know. He made the first 51-yarder. Yeah. You don't know if he would have made the second one.
So now you've got Coach Gibbs at the podium after the Redskins have lost this emotional game. Mm-hmm. And first he says he doesn't know about the 10 guys. He'll have to look into that. Then he says, and I think this takes a lot of balls, he says, this whole thing was on me.
Mm-hmm.
But then this man of great moral integrity throws a caveat in there. Says, it was on me. I called the timeout that lost the game.
It's about asking the ref, right?
Yeah, he said, but I did ask the ref. Now, hold on just a second. That's like going up to a ref and saying, hey, on this next play, we're thinking about chop blocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's not the referee's job.
No, it is not, and it's just like a baseball umpire. You know, hey, I'm thinking about taking an extra long lead here, and I'm not going to go back to the base this time. What do you think? You think, can they still tag me out? You know, if you ask a referee, it's not his job to tell the coach what the rules are.
Hey, baseball.
I'd love to know what the referee's response was, and they haven't gotten that yet.
No, they haven't. And I think when Gibbs was asked about it later, he said that all the ref said to him was, tell me when you want to call it.
Yep.
So I don't think.
So the referee cannot, he's probably trained that in no way can he give an indication either way.
Well, it's not his job. Because,
not at all.
Because he would be giving Buffalo an unfair advantage then.
Yeah, he's not going to say, I don't know about that, Joe. That could be a 15-yard penalty.
So that in some ways has to be discussed, that the Redskins lost this game. Maybe, but 100% sure, because of this move by Gibbs.
But even with Gibbs, I know it does come down to Gibbs, but Jesus, how many guys do they have there? How many guys up in the booth? You know, what do you have those headphones on for?
Well, when you
is anybody saying, hey, don't?
I guess not, because
I mean, you know, you talk about the rule. I was listening to the game on the radio. Sonny knew the rule, you know, and Sonny said it early on.
It is surprising.
And of course,
I was
Sam didn't know the rule.
Really?
I stood up and screamed to anyone there that would hear me. I was like, ah! No, no, no two timeouts! No, no, no! Sound like Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah.
No, no, two, no, you no, can't do this!
No timeouts!
No, you're going to ruin the game! You're going to ruin the game for everyone! It's going to be a 31-yard field goal! Or 38-yard field goal! It's a chip shot!
So, yeah.
For the love of God, Gibbs!
So here's the problem. You know, the guys really made some bad decision. And it's obvious that Joe Gibbs doesn't really know what's going on with this team, as evidenced by the fact they start with 10 guys in an 11-man game on purpose, and the coach doesn't know about it.
That amazes me. I mean, and you have to wonder how much control he has over the team, how much control he has over his coaching staff. Right?
Then you balance that with the guy that I'll tell you, the moment that got me yesterday at the game when they showed this thing on the video screen was when Joe Gibbs was looking directly into the camera and said, you know, God, you watch over Sean, you know, until we get. I mean,
right.
So I find it very hard to criticize the guy because his heart's in the right place. I watched him during this funeral today that was covered on TV here in D.C. Incredible poise by Joe Gibbs. Really eloquent. The guy could be a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he really, really, really is starting to suck as a football player. However,
coach.
Yeah, I'm sorry, coach. However, you have to say, with all of the stuff that's happened.
The whole team. You know, I mean, you do.
Right.
It does come down to a penalty that resulted in a shorter field goal. But the fact is, what all these guys, you were there, what all these guys were dealing with yesterday, pretty damn difficult to muster it. I mean, to get it together. This is not your average situation.
I feel bad for Gibbs in this regard. And I'm going to echo something that you talked about a second ago, Mike. I don't care if he's the de facto coach, if he's, you know, like our boss, Michael Hughes, a stick who just everybody says is the boss. Seriously, you got to tell him if he's standing there and he's contemplating calling two timeouts in a row. The Redskins have how many? 25 assistant coaches?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, ridiculous.
I'm trying to echo that. Someone's got to at least lean in on the conversation.
I always think about the guys up there that are watching television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are watching the game coverage on television. You don't think that they pay attention to the analysis, that hasn't been the basis for a lot of red flags that are thrown in the NFL?
Anyway, it's hard to criticize the guy because, you know, he really is a good man.
It's sad. You know, the whole thing is sad. The whole thing, you know, anybody that's from this town, no matter how you feel about the Redskins, that was the game you wanted to see the Redskins win. You wanted to see them win it, and they were demoralized going right out there. I'm sure you were at the game. You could tell their play was not inspired. They've been through the war. I mean, they've been through a very, very difficult time, and I don't think there are many teams in the NFL that would be able to pull it together.
No.
It just sucks. The whole thing sucks. I'm glad that this weekend is over, and you know who knows what happens the rest of the season. The next week, you get right back to saying, hey, what is the deal here?
Well, they play Thursday.
Right.
They play
Chicago.
This Thursday. They play, you know, 2 days from now.
Yeah. It's been which compounds the difficulty, you know, on the day that they would be having to, you know, to heal their wounds. These guys are on a plane going down to a funeral.
Yeah. Now, you know, to be fair, there are quite a few players on the Bears who flew there as well.
Right.
They mentioned during the Bears game, it's funny you find out about NFL ownership. A lot of these rich guys are letting these players take their private jets down.
Mm-hmm.
They said that Devin Hester of the Bears,
mm-hmm.
they really hoped that the game ended on time because he had to catch the last regular commercial flight out of Chicago last night to get down to Miami.
Wow.
After they were talking about, like, the owner of the Colts is sending Reggie Wayne down on his plane.
So Bears ownership perhaps not standing up and making the jet available.
No, well, I'm sure they said to him, there's a flight that leaves at midnight
from
O'Hare.
Be on it.
You can do it.
Have you ever been to Expedia.com?
You can get on standby. Get on standby for something.
I know I've trashed the Redskins a lot. I thought that was really, really first rate what they did yesterday.
Good. I'm glad to hear you say that.
It was really nice. And the other thing that I would say to the Redskins and to all of you other sports teams out there, if you have a good story with somebody like Sean Taylor, why don't you try talking about it before the guy dies the next time? What I mean is, in this world where we either have guys that are on one of two plateaus, either they're untouchably good and fantastic,
right,
or they're awful.
Right. Are you talking about as human beings or as athletes?
As human beings.
As human beings. Either the great story of the community-minded citizen or the guy that's in trouble all the time.
Now,
you seem in the NFL to hear only about the guys that are in trouble all the time.
And if there's a guy like Sean Taylor who appeared to be in trouble because that was the presentation that was given to us as fans, and let's face it, as fans, all we are is people watching this like celebrities watching Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on. If it says in the newspaper, the last thing about Sean Taylor that I remember was that he was not returning Joe Gibbs' phone calls in the off season. That was the last thing, one of the last things a couple of years ago that was written about him with a lot of prominence. Now, the Redskins never came out and said, hey, we got to tell you something. All of these incidents, like him ignoring Joe Gibbs down in Florida and not taking the coach's calls and joking about it, he's not like that anymore.
He's turned it around.
Everything
that I've read about Sean Taylor is that when he had the baby, when his girlfriend had the baby, that's when he started turning a corner. It really was a significant, impactful event in his life, and that's everybody to a man was saying he had turned his life around, and he wasn't doing the things he had done before, and he was straightening his act out. That's what makes this more of a tragedy. But you're right. I never heard of. Did you ever hear? I didn't even know.
No.
That he was making these changes in his life.
No. You know, that's why last week when this all came out, I said I'm not surprised. And then Michael Wilbon got some heat for saying that.
Right.
And some guy at the Post got heat for saying that.
Kornheiser said it, I think, too.
And I don't know if they'll say this. I'll say to Sean Taylor's family, I apologize because I didn't know the circumstances surrounding your son.
Right.
Just like, and I said this to somebody over the weekend, if someone had said to me, Jeremy Shockey had been involved in a shooting, I would say the same thing. I'm not surprised. Jeremy Shockey went to the University of Miami. He's been in some trouble.
Right.
He's a hooligan, a tough guy. Same difference.
Not surprised based on history that someone would get in trouble again.
Right. But about Sean Taylor, you know, there are some things now that are indisputably true. I mean, the cops would not be coming out and saying.
Can I get back to the I'm not surprised? That seems to be the buzz quote that's being used. Not the buzz quote, but the action quote that's being used for you and for a lot of other people that have said that. None of you guys were, all of you were surprised that someone was murdered. I mean, it's always a surprise when somebody gets shot to death. Mm-hmm. You would not have been surprised based on the lack of information that we all had if he was involved in some kind of trouble again.
No.
And this falls into that umbrella of trouble. I mean, I think anytime somebody gets murdered, it's a shock and it's a surprise.
And I was watching TV about this over the weekend, and I was watching that show with George Michael, a Redskins show.
Yeah, I watched a little of that.
It's got Riggins on. It's got Michael Wilbon on. And
I actually watched the coach's show where it was just Sonny and George talking to the coach.
And they were having a discussion about this whole thing with Wilbon having written in the newspaper. Yeah, he wasn't surprised. And then Riggins kind of said, well, I'll paraphrase for you. John Riggins said, I agree with you, but because I'm not your color skin, I can't say that. That is ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You can't comment, speculate about a public person with the knowledge that the media has given you unless you are the same color as them.
Well, that statement alone turns it into a racial thing, it was never a racial. I mean, I think we've gotten beyond that as far as
I don't think it was.
Well,
I know it wasn't with me. No one gives a crap what I said. I know that Michael Wilbon is getting some crap for having said this very same thing. You know, I'm sorry I said that. I really am. I wish that if there are more good stories like that about guys with less than great pasts who have turned it around, mm-hmm. well, then the NFL and those teams should do a better job of telling us about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to motivate these young guys to raise their bar, and to play at a off the field, at a higher level, recognize the fact that with their God-given talent that these guys do have, you know, a stage where they can make an impact on younger people. I mean, I think they ought to get it out there and get a PR machine working for it. I mean, what do we see? What have we seen for 30 years in the NFL? The United Way. Thanks to us, it's working. I mean, that's all you see. You don't really hear about these guys doing a lot of the good stuff.
You know, and rather than take...
But boy, you hear about the bad stuff.
And rather than take Sean Taylor now and just romanticize him, and it, sickens me that it turns into a Princess Diana type thing with people. It's the big giant stack of animals that are plush animals and the notes and the stuff. And it's like people are getting their picture taken next to it at the stadium yesterday. Like, hey, look at me. I'm here at the big.
Everybody wants to, you know, we found that out after 9/11. Everybody wants to marry themselves to the tragedy. Right. Everybody does. That's the American way. If there's one thing that's certain in this country, we like to marry ourselves to a tragedy. We really do.
But rather than remember Sean Taylor as a good football player, I think now that all the facts are out, seriously, and I know he had been compared, and I myself had said, what about the guys and women in Iraq that are getting killed every day? You know, well, Sean Taylor, I believe, was a hero because some cat broke into his house, and he went out there to defend his girlfriend and his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's not heroic, I don't know what is. So it's pretty simple now. The guy is a hero, and maybe we should talk about how easy it is for people to get guns in this country and how this kind of stuff happens. But no one really wants to have any of those discussions of any substance.
No, because it's painful. And we don't like to deal with what's painful. We don't like to deal with the serious stuff. What we like to deal with is, who showed their crotch getting out of a limo. That's where we are.
Anyway.
And you're not going to hear about it. And I said all this stuff last week. I said a lot of this stuff last week. And, you know, the fact is, really, the gun availability and the guns, that's what killed the guy. You know, and it's unfortunate that we're in that situation. Now, what would you hear a person say to you? On the other side, they would say, hey, wait, you know, maybe if he had a gun, this wouldn't have happened. Well, but then again, maybe it would have been worse.
Well, Mike, and this is where you get to the whole thing about Sean Taylor. Maybe he would have had a gun if he hadn't been in trouble with the cops before.
Exactly. So many maybes.
And he couldn't have a gun because he had been in trouble with the cops
before. Due to a gun violation.
Right. And again, you know, if the cat, and I believe this now, had turned his life around, and if he's a bit shy, a camera shy, reporter shy, well, he's got all of his buddies on the team. He's got Gibbs. He's got all these people. This would be a story that I would think you would want to let all of the people in the community know. Sean Taylor had turned his life around. How many of you can honestly say before this happened, you knew that?
Yeah. I don't think anybody knew it.
Good question.
You know what another sad thing is about this, reading a little bit as they piece together this home invasion, which I guess the police are, you know, every day getting closer and closer to tying this whole thing up. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds to me like these guys that went over there, you know, had no idea that anyone was going to be home.
Nope.
That they thought the guy was, you know, off doing something else, or maybe even they were so stupid they didn't realize that he might have still been with the team, you know, and that's the thing that really sucks.
You know, I watched that. I think back.
That's why, because they were, you know, they're cowards that do this kind of thing, and they probably broke in thinking nobody was going
to
be at home.
I think about the idiotic world we live in. Didn't cat burglars used to wear like guys that were going to break into your house, didn't they wear like all dark sweats, and maybe they had like a knife in their mouth in case they had to cut through a screen or something?
But, yeah, and they had the ski mask on, you know, and they'd scale the wall.
But don't we generally think of guys like that like in the ADT commercial where there's the guy outside and they go,
yes,
they go, and as soon as he hears it, breaks the glass, he goes, oh, I gotta leave.
Right.
He doesn't pull out a gun and start shooting everybody.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it sounds to me, really, the more I read about this, is that this was a home invasion that, you know, turned into a home invasion.
Right.
You know, that he actually stumbled upon, oh, my God, there's some people home. Well, blast, blast, blast. It sucks. It really sucks.
Just makes it sadder. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
You know, how many of us on this planet really knew the man, for one thing, and can really comment on, you know, his life and if he turned it around?
Don't you think that's what being a celebrity is, though? I mean, that's the way it is, especially, you know, in this country and throughout the world. If you're in the public eye, everybody's going to judge you. You're going to be judged. That's what's going to happen.
The public eye's perception is just what they tell you it is.
Right.
And, you know, everybody was surprised. Everybody was surprised the man died from a gunshot to the leg. You thought, oh, nobody was surprised he got in some gun trouble based on his past. They weren't surprised about that, but that he perished as a result from a gun, you know, leg wound is...
See, and again, that's how little we know. Those of us who don't own guns think that we're watching goddamn Law and Order.
Yeah.
And it's like, a guy got shot in the leg? Ah! you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think that's another thing when you talk about the gun culture that we have. When you watch television and you see these guys get shot 4 and 5 times and they survive, when you realize that the way I heard it one time is that
it's just a wound in my shoulder. I'm fine. You run ahead.
I'm going to be perfectly all right, and I'm going to finish chasing the bad guys around. Mm-hmm. What people don't realize is a bullet enters your body anywhere. It can cause shock of such a massive extent that it can kill you instantaneously.
Haven't we learned that now from CSI? Haven't we all seen those great shots of the video going inside the body, of the bullet going inside
the body? Oh, my God. You realize what can happen.
See where the hell it goes? Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
It also hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot.
Like your lip.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Not that bad. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for being the only place I've heard anywhere, including all the mainstream media, to express this point of view I have about the guns and Sean Taylor. I mean,
well, listen, I got to tell you, really, you should go back and watch. I never like saying this about Jesse Jackson, but watch what Jesse Jackson had to say at the beginning of the funeral today. I thought the guy cut right to
about
it.
About the culture of guns?
About the culture of guns.
Yeah.
I expected Jesse Jackson to stand up today with more of his rhetoric just, you know, hey, look at me. This is a tragedy, so I'm here because I'm Jesse Jackson. And he actually stood up and said something that I know everybody in that room felt strongly about.
And, you know, it's continuing. I mean, if you pay attention to what's happening in the world, especially in this country, more and more laws trying to get passed each and every month. More laws to get bigger, more powerful weapons in the hands of the public. And you're going to see more of this crap.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hi, just backing up to the game for a moment. Unfortunately, due to the terrible tragedy that's taking place, obviously it's beyond any of us to scrutinize the players where a person's life, it goes far beyond the value of a football game. I will say one thing, though. I don't believe the game really came down to Joe Gibbs' call. Yes, it was a terrible judgment call, but when you get right down to it, the whole offense didn't produce when they needed to. They were in the red zone 3 or 4 times and didn't put the points on the board. And then the other thing was...
Hey, hold on. Not to bust nuts so much, but what about early in the game? There was a 4th and 1, and he decides to go for it. Now, please, in that regard, I'm screaming, have you learned anything? Kick the field goal. Take the sure points. Well, they go out for 4th and 1, and there's illegal movement, and they get yanked back 5. They got to kick the field goal.
I personally
anyway.
Don't agree with you on that. The whole stadium was behind his decision. I was there, and it seemed like the right thing.
Yeah, listen, I want to tell you something, though. Yeah, it always seems like the right thing to do.
Doesn't everybody in the stands, they always want you to go for it.
Haven't we learned by now with the Redskins that they gamble too much on 4th and 1? Take the points. If there are points there, take them.
I found that the coach, though, has been ultra-conservative most of the season, and he's been criticized for that. I'm glad that he did take that chance. But I don't think...
All right, well, we're dangerously getting into sports radio.
We are getting into sports radio. I have a question about when you were there yesterday. Did you sense that it was that the crowd was more easily taken out of the game?
Yeah.
Because of the circumstances?
Sure. I mean, everybody...
It sounded like that on TV.
Everybody was deflated.
Yeah.
You know? And like I
not
said,
easy to not hard to knock them down. Yesterday.
You can't take people's emotions like that and play with people's emotions like
and
that.
And the whole point really is out of this whole thing, it makes the players, it makes the fans realize, yes, it's a shame that the Redskins lost the game, but this tragedy demonstrates that this game is a very small part of what life is really about.
Right.
You know, and you've heard it again, and if you really want to put it into practice,
and for those,
then you can't bitch too loudly about the Redskins game yesterday.
For those who say that this tragedy put everything in perspective for the Redskins, well, how'd that work out?
Yeah.
Right?
That's not what I'm hearing today.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of perspective today. There's really not a lot of perspective at all.
And as they were doing the post game on Channel 9, they had that tool, Brett Haber, sitting out there interviewing fans, and they got like 5 or 6 in a row coming out of the stadium. This is right on the heels of them losing, going, that's it. Gibbs has got to go. Mm. Joe Gibbs has got to be fired. And then some guy walks right up to the camera and says, I am going to fire JoeGibbsNow.com.
That's cool. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I could tell with the fan interviews that I've heard and watched today, You get the people that you really know are hurting by this thing, that are, and then the people that seem to be trying to say the things they think they're supposed to say. And you always get that with fans. You get that whether it's a football game, whether it's a tragedy. You get people that have been so saturated by television and television interviews that they will say, this is a supreme tragedy for everyone, and we, our hearts and our prayers go. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to look. I'm not questioning whoever the individuals are. Perhaps they're sincere.
You know, you're
it
talking
just
about?
Sounds to me so. It's like people are making it up. You know, like talking, you can say to a fan that would say, "This is a tragedy for everybody," and then in five seconds later, you said, "Well, what position did he play?" I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that could have been.
And that just
everybody.
Frustrates me a little. Yeah, that frustrates me a little bit. Really does.
Our soundbite culture.
It is. I mean, but people now, the fans especially in this town, when it comes to the Redskins, they know the soundbites.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I think your perspective is good with the guns. But, you know, the other thing I don't think any of the media is touching upon, when I heard about all this, I wanted to know, you know, regards to Sean Taylor, what was his upbringing like? Were his parents together? What was he like as a child or a Pop Warner star?
Well, see, now I can tell you a little bit about that because up until recently when, now that we know he's turned his life around, the reason I know about him is because every time there was a story about him getting in trouble with a gun violation or whatever it was, DUI, they would mention the guy came from a good neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He had a mom and a dad. His dad is a police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The guy True. Grew up. So he was not the classic story of someone who came from the inner city.
He is the classic story of someone who...
From what I understand.
He's the classic story of someone who got the fame and fortune so fast, and a lot of guys just can't handle it. I mean, that he is certainly not the first that's wigged out a little bit when he's gotten the money and the fame. It happens to a lot of guys.
Hey there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hi there. What's happening?
I just wanted to pick your brain on the Sean Taylor issue and gun control. And
I want to tell you something right now. This is not the place for it. Okay?
Bye!
I want to tell you, I speak for myself. Mike, you chime in if you like. Mm-hmm. I'm not for guns. Any of you a-holes out there that want to call in and make this a whole amendment issue?
No, because really that...
Kiss my big pimply ass.
That doesn't do any good. It really doesn't. I've heard all the arguments. You know, the fact is...
I don't want to hear from Robert about acceptable gun laws or Dave, who's a gun control guy, or Phil, who wants to say, these are our God-given rights. Please, you know what all you can do? Kiss my ass. If you're a gun owner and you feel that way, go out and shoot yourself in the leg. And see how that feels. Uh-huh. Get back to me.
It'll hurt a lot.
It does hurt.
Just shoot yourself right in the groin, just like Sean Taylor was, and then lay there and see if you act like a guy on TV. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lenny, I'm okay. It's just a flesh wound. You go catch the bad guy.
You know, rarely do we bring something up that people start getting excited about when we start talking about guns.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because they're all out there.
And we're not going to.
I drive by the building every single day. I drive by the NRA every single day.
And we ain't going to discuss it on this show. Our status, our feeling is anti-gun. I speak for me, for Mike.
You know, and...
For Buzz, maybe.
Yeah. You want one fact, okay?
Rob's a member of the NRA.
Fact is, I don't care how this... whoever killed, murdered Sean Taylor got the guns. I don't care what the circumstances were. The bottom line... He was killed with a gun, and that's all you need to know. He was killed with a gun. He was murdered with a gun.
Mike.
As so many people are.
Guns don't kill people.
People kill people. Oh, my God.
That's right.
How long has that been around?
Well, we're not getting into that discussion. This ain't the place for it, so change the channel. Seriously.
Yeah.
Guns are outlawed. Only outlaws will have guns, Don.
It's coming from the only member of the show who really, in real life, is a member of the NRA.
Are you a member of the NRA? Just to go and you just went in there to shoot guns, right?
I can fire at their range. But I had to take the quiz.
Can I be anti-gun and also go to enjoy going to a firing range?
I don't think so. I don't think so, Mike. That's feel like having a cake and eating it,
but
too.
You've shot skeet before.
I've had a gun in my hand one time.
Uh-huh. Was that the only time when you were with me?
Yes, and how did I react to that?
Don't hurt me!
Very badly. I didn't like it. No. No.
But if you want to shoot at the NRA range, you do have to take the NRA quiz.
Right.
And I only remember one question. It's a true or false.
Yeah.
And it's guns are awesome.
True or false. What'd you put?
I can't remember, but I did pass.
All right.
Well, I'm complicated that way.
Yeah, you are.
Let's just take one call here.
Texture.
We'll go to a break. Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Excellent. You guys are capitalist gods, right?
Right on.
Excellent. Well, listen, the Sean Taylor towels that we all got at the game yesterday,
yeah,
they're doing wonders on eBay today.
Oh, I'm sure. People are selling them?
Hold on. Yeah, Joe just pulled it up. Are you kidding me?
Of course they are.
$103, $122, Sean Taylor dedication towel and ticket game stub. Sean Taylor dedication towel. God. Can I tell you something about these towels?
Please.
That the Redskins gave out yesterday. If you're one of the people on eBay idiotically trying to bid on this, they were given away to 90,000 people. Every time people shook these towels, it appeared to be snowing in the stadium.
Wow. Are you talking about the quality of the textile?
I said to anyone in my section who would listen, as I held my Sean Taylor towel, I said, you know what we call this where I live? Brawny. Because
you're saying that the fabric that the towels were made of was not of a quality nature?
Certainly not worth $100, and they don't have, I mean, on eBay, uh-huh, and they don't have anything on them that says.
Are they embroidered or silk screened?
It's silk screened. Uh-huh. It's silk screened with the number 21, embroidered in gold. Right. That's it. Save your money.
Right.
Seriously. Save your money.
Well, they're going to still sell them. Bid with confidence.
Sure.
Did Rob ask you for yours yet?
What you want to look for are the hats that they were selling at the stadium yesterday that said Sean Taylor RIP, that had that embroidered in the back of the back of the hat.
Slightly more quality item.
That's one you want.
Any proceeds of those sales going to any?
Don't really know about that, Mike.
Something we might want to research.
Didn't feel it was right to get into that because
you're probably not the best day to do that. But it's, if it happens, if that information happens to come our way,
yes,
down the road, I would be just a little bit curious.
How many of these things are on eBay?
Well, when you get 90,000 people.
81 Sean Taylor free giveaway towels. Wow.
And they're all on eBay?
On eBay right now.
All selling for over $100.
No, some of the later ones are down to $6.
Hey, I got news for you. It'll be at least $200 after we're done talking about it.
Okay.
Yeesh.
Right. Hi there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on with you?
Driving home.
Okay, now that we've established that, is there any particular reason you called?
Yes, there is. I wanted to compare this whole Joe Gibbs being the coach while the Sean Taylor tragedy happened to George Bush being the president while 9/11 happened. You know, it was good that he was there. He was there for his guy, like George.
You know,
Bush,
I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Uh-huh. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, you may be taking football too seriously. That's just my opinion.
I don't
could
think
be
so,
wrong.
Mike. Let him speak.
Not at all. I dislike George Bush. That's all.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Let's end it right there.
Our nation does.
Yeah, and the results show he's doing a super job of it.
I only wish that the Redskins would hire him as a player coach.
What could
George W. Bush.
What could W. Still in fine shape. He could still run a post pattern.
Let him play that corner spot. Let him coach the team.
W.
Let him run the country.
Right. I was
fancy digs you got here.
I was drawing parallels between this and 9/11 all morning.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Everyone wants.
Football is serious business.
I tell you what, Jack, you couldn't be more feebed out standing on the sidelines there, calling timeouts. Poor Gibbs.
Poor Gibbs. Really, and that's, I agree. I feel sorry for him.
Sure.
And here's the other thing. The eating habits, Joe. You know, when you came back, you said you weren't going to spend all the time in the office,
right?
Eating ding dongs and yoo-hoos. And
you talking about the breasts?
Yes,
the breasts are starting to get very large again.
The mitts,
The mitts, and it's that NFL coach's breast. They develop. They don't get super. There are a few of them that get just plain fat, but most of them are these guys that probably have been thin all their lives.
Yes.
And they develop mammaries.
If only there was a way that we could find to use this technology with women, to have women start to eat bad food.
Yeah, then you could just ply them full of ho-hos and their breasts would get bigger.
And they only get bigger boobs.
A beautiful, beautiful topless shot of Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells, who really was one of the Tom Flores and Bill Parcells. But Bill Parcells was fat all over. But even he, as fat as he was, when tuna was super fat, Tuna's boobs were bigger than the rest of his body.
And magnificent.
But he still had boobs like a fat girl has boobs.
Yes, he did.
Bill Parcells did. Mm-hmm. What you want is a guy like Gibbs, or a classic guy like you mentioned.
Right.
The former coach of the Raiders, Tom Flores.
Tom Flores, who appeared to have a 34 to 36-inch waist.
A guy who's really not fat.
Right.
But he's just old and flabby, and his pecs and his boobs.
And he wears the medium golf shirt, which show off the breasts like nobody's business. Don Coryell. And a wasting away coach, a man that was just withering away to nothing, but he had little buds, little training bra buds that he had all the time.
Dan Reeves got them.
And Jimmy, Dan Reeves was always a guy in shape.
Jimmy Johnson, of course, he had them coming into the job.
He was slightly chunkier than your average coach. But even if you have them, you could dress better.
Sure.
And it's always the coaches that had the mitts that would wear the tight golf shirt. That wouldn't pay attention to what they're putting on their body.
Would someone please tell Andy Reid, I don't care how many items you wear in black, you're still a big load.
Andy Reid could do so much better. Look at the wealth of merchandise that's available to the coach of an NFL team to wear.
You know what he says every week? I would like the size 4X black jacket, the 4X pregnancy pants. I would like the 4X black hat.
But it's going to be all screwed as soon as he puts that belt around it.
And cinches it tight?
Yes.
Yeah, under the gut.
As soon as he puts the belt over the clothes, he's done.
And, you know, one of the worst kept secrets in Dallas is how they used to have to strap down Tom Landry.
And, of course, now that you mentioned Dallas, Wade Phillips is another one. He's a fat guy.
He's a fat guy,
but
though.
He's also got big, beautiful breasts.
Maybe if he lost a lot of weight, he could keep his full bosom.
They all do.
You know who doesn't, though? Coach Norv.
Norv is a thin as a rail guy, always thin, but, you know, he's got that skin issue to deal with.
And he's a loser.
Big loser.
So there's that.
Big double loser. Norville.
It's not too late to help Mr. Del Rio, is it? Can we nip this in the bud?
He doesn't appear to have mitts.
American Dad.
I think he could. I think he could easily go that way.
Nah, there's a bunch of guys that don't have it. He doesn't have it. Tony Dungy doesn't have it.
Bill Cowher didn't have it when he was coaching. These are the guys that like to keep themselves.
Nobody throw Romeo Cornell in here because that's not fair because he's got boobs. He could lose 500 pounds and he would still have huge boobs.
Right.
I think Coach Dungy could get implants.
That's the only way that he would have boobs.
A tasteful C cup, a and small
C. Herm Edwards also in great shape.
Yeah, impossible.
Fantastic
shape. Coach Gruden.
Yeah, John Gruden, another guy in great shape.
Impossible for him to have breasts.
I miss the real super, you know, Andy Reid's the last of a dying breed, the super, super fat coach.
He never really dresses down enough, so you could tell. What about Coughlin?
Commandant Coughlin?
You think he's got him?
Yes. Yeah, yes. As a matter of fact, he does dress down. When he wears the New York Giants white golf shirt, you can see that he's got that. But I never pay attention to his body because I'm always looking at those little rodent rat eyes of his. Have you ever really taken a look at the guy? He looks seriously. If you gave him buck teeth and whiskers, he would resemble seriously a sewer rat.
He looks to me like a woman getting ready for a Broadway show where they put all of the red flush on the cheeks.
Yeah, he is a nasty-looking man, an evil, nasty, rat-like-looking man. And Eli, you know, I mean, just, you know I'm a Giants fan, and I'm watching the Giants. Sheely. And just, I watched Eli, you know, big come-from-behind win yesterday. Good win for the Giants. He gets excited for, like, in this spazzy way, for 5 seconds,
he's
he goes,
a retard.
Yay! And then he goes back to having the ridiculous-looking ski cap and his mouth agape. He is the ultimate mouth breather. I wish he would close his mouth. His brother Peyton doesn't have his mouth hanging open that
often. That's the problem, man. He's like Roger Carter. I mean, he's like, or Billy Carter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's Billy Carter. He's Roger Clinton.
Carlos said it to me yesterday watching the Little Brother Syndrome. Said, you got it right.
Excuse me, I'm following the plot of the killer movie I saw this weekend, Fred Claus.
Did you see Fred Claus finally?
Saw it. Loved it.
Did you really?
Loved it. I'm a huge Vince Vaughn fan.
Good, I'll take my daughters to it. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. There's a great scene where they have, well, what do I care? Ruin it. Ruin this.
I'm going to ruin away.
They have,
it's been out long enough, too.
Siblings Anonymous. So he sits down and he says, my brother is Santa Claus. And everybody says, right. And in the room, doing really great cameos are Roger Clinton, Bill Clinton's brother, Frank Stallone. And then the one that really catches you out of nowhere is you see this guy stand up and go, what is your problem? And then the group says, as a mantra, they go, you're not Alec. And it's
it's a Baldwin.
It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Billy Baldwin.
Perfect. Oh, really? Is that funny?
I thought that was funny. That's great.
I thought that's funny.
You got two good actors in it, so you enjoyed Fred Claus.
I did.
Fred Claus.
I did. Me and every other booger eater in there.
Sure. Was there a lot of talking in the theater?
Oh, I forgot. You're in a movie like that. It's like...
Yeah, it's Idiot Brigade.
You might as well be watching the movie from one of those giant Playmobiles inside a McDonald's.
And it's Fred Claus like 4 weeks into it.
Yeah, it's Fred
right?
Claus.
So it's Fred Claus for the people that didn't see it right away.
Fred Claus playing at the smallest theater in the 18-theater megaplex we went to.
I just laugh at you walking into Fred Claus. I just would like to see you walking up to the ticket counter. Two for Fred Claus, please.
And even better, Mike, it might be people that are coming back to see it again.
Sure. Oh, very likely.
They'll know the plot.
That's even better.
I had so much more fun the second time because I've seen it.
I think you're right for going to see it in December. As opposed to, seeing it when it first came out, right around Thanksgiving.
When am I going to go see this weekend? There's that dumb Disney movie. I don't want to see that. I think I've seen...
Enchanted?
Yeah, I've seen about everything else.
Fabulous!
I mean, I just wasn't in the mood to go see, like, the Coen Brothers movie.
Right.
I like Vince Vaughn. And also, I love a movie star who in every movie seriously looks like he hasn't slept for 5 days.
He's got the anus eyes.
He's got
the double anus eyes.
He really looks like he shows up for work literally with 15 minutes sleep every day.
And this is so the same Vince Vaughn, the same one we saw in Wedding Crashers.
Same one as in The Breakup. Same one as in Swingers.
Vince Vaughn.
It's the same guy. It's the same. He winks. You know, hey, you got to do it. Hey, you know what I'm doing?
Did you laugh out loud when he was too big for the bed?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I
look
did.
At that. They got an elf sized bed and he's had legs hanging out of it.
Yeah, and I had, they were very nice. Went to Regal Cinemas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And as we were waiting to get our popcorn, the manager came up and said hello. And I said, hey, how you doing? And he said, what are you going to go see tonight? And I said, we're going to see Fred Claus. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, it's not bad.
Not bad. Well, listen, why don't you get over there? They're letting people into the...
didn't laugh and think you were joking?
No, so then we're leaving the theater, and another manager guy is standing by the door, and as we're leaving, he comes up to me and he says, and I say, yeah, hi, what can I do for you? And he says, the other guy, the other manager, very nice, give me like 20 passes. You always
get the royal treatment at that theater.
I don't ask
called
for
Regal.
It. I don't ask for it.
But you know what? Isn't that the theater that you and I had the privilege of opening?
Yeah.
And thank you very much. Yes.
What's
red
funny
carpet
is
treatment.
The assistant manager says, I say, oh, come on. I don't need these tickets. Right. He said, give them to your kid when he's home for the holidays or whatever.
Sure.
And I said, no, please take them. I feel awkward. And he said, no. You just paid to go see Fred Claus. This is the assistant manager said to me, you just paid $10 a ticket to go see Fred Claus. Please take some of these passes.
Yeah. Please. We owe you.
I'm telling you.
This was a charity purchase that you just made.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I liked the movie.
You're right. Keeping people employed during the writer's strike.
Did you walk away from Fred Claus with the same question Regis had? How did they make Ludacris so small?
Oh, no.
He's very small. How did they do that?
God.
Yeah. Hiya, waya. Yeah, my little sheltered life. Hey, did you take
Face
show TV. Today?
I think I have it at home.
Did you get, at one point he said he would like to, he was talking about toothpaste.
Right.
And how he was coming back from the Bahamas where they did their show and he had a tube of toothpaste and TSA wouldn't let him through with the
tube
of toothpaste.
Yeah, he was doing a whole riff on TSA and how they were difficult.
Regis Philbin said, I wanted to squirt it in her mouth.
Oh, well, I find that.
Exactly.
That would be nice. Hey. That would be nice to have that out of context.
And, of course, she was walking him through it, explaining how, I would think Regis has been through some airports, but he still has that old man thing going
on. I don't believe he carries toothpaste. I think he uses tablets.
That's right. And grip.
That's right.
And super poly grip.
So you didn't get that. We didn't have that today?
No. I must have missed it.
Oh, that's too bad.
I will find it.
That stinks.
Okay. Oh, we got to do a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.